Chapter 32. It is very wrong in Mr. Jenkins. I know it is perfectly inexcusable in Mr. Jenkins, if he intends it, apostrophe observed Mrs. Todgers, if he intends it, apostrophe apostrophe cried the youngest gentleman. Don't he interrupt and contradict me on every occasion? Does he ever fail to interpose himself between me, and anything or anybody, that he sees I have set my mind upon? Does he make a point of always pretending to forget me, when he's pouring out the beer? Does he make bragging remarks about his razors, and insulting allusions to people who have no necessity to shave more than once a week? But let him look out. He'll find himself shaved, pretty close, before long, and so I tell him. Apostrophe, the young gentleman was mistaken in his closing sentence, inasmuch as he never told it to Jenkins, but always to Mrs. Todgers. However, apostrophe, he said, these are not proper subjects for ladies' ears. All I've got to say to you, Mrs. Todgers, is, a week's notice from next Saturday. The same house can't contain that miscreant and me any longer. If we get over the intermediate time without bloodshed, you may think yourself pretty fortunate. I don't myself expect we shall. Apostrophe, dear, dear. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mrs. Todgers. What would I have given to have prevented this? To lose you, sir, would be like losing the house's right hand. So popular as you are among the gentlemen, so generally looked up to, and so much liked. I do hope you'll think better of it, if on nobody else's account, on mine. Apostrophe, there's Jenkins, apostrophe, said the youngest gentleman, moodily. Your favorite. He'll console you, and the gentleman too, for the loss of 20 such as me. I'm not understood in this house. I never have been. Apostrophe, don't run away with that opinion, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mrs. Todgers, with a show of honest indignation. Don't make such a charge as that against the establishment, I must beg of you. It is not so bad as that comes to, sir. Make any remark you please against the gentleman, or against me, but don't say you're not understood in this house. Apostrophe, I'm not treated as if I was, apostrophe, said the youngest gentleman. There you make a great mistake, sir, apostrophe, returned Mrs. Todgers, in the same strain. As many of the gentlemen and I have often said, you are too sensitive. That's where it is. You are of too susceptible a nature, it's in your spirit. Apostrophe, the young gentleman coughed. And as, apostrophe, said Mrs. Todgers, as to Mr. Jenkins, I must beg of you, if we are to part, to understand that I don't abet Mr. Jenkins by any means. Far from it. I could wish that Mr. Jenkins would take a lower tone in this establishment, and would not be the means of raising differences between me and gentlemen that I can much less bear to part with than I could with Mr. Jenkins. Mr. Jenkins is not such a boarder, sir, apostrophe, added Mrs. Todgers, that all considerations of private feeling and respect give way before him. Quite the contrary, I assure you. Apostrophe, the young gentleman was so much mollified by these and similar speeches on the part of Mrs. Todgers, that he and that lady gradually changed positions, so that she became the injured party, and he was understood to be the injurer, but in a complimentary, not in an offensive sense, his cruel conduct being attributable to his exalted nature, and to that alone. So, in the end, the young gentleman withdrew his notice, and assured Mrs. Todgers of his unalterable regard, and having done so, went back to business. Goodness me, Miss Pecksniffs! Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried that lady, as she came into the back room, and sat wearily down, with her basket on her knees, and her hands folded upon it. What a trial of temper it is to keep a house like this! You must have heard most of what has just passed. Now did you ever hear the like? Apostrophe, apostrophe, never. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the two Miss Pecksniffs. Of all the ridiculous young fellows that ever I had to deal with, apostrophe, resumed Mrs. Todgers, that is the most ridiculous and unreasonable. Mr. Jenkins is hard upon him sometimes, but not half as hard as he deserves. To mention such a gentleman as Mr. Jenkins in the same breath with him, you know it's too much. And yet he's as jealous of him, bless you, as if he was his equal. Apostrophe, the young ladies were greatly entertained by Mrs. Todger's account, no less than with certain anecdotes illustrative of the youngest gentleman's character, which she went on to tell them. But Mr. Pecksniff looked quite stern and angry, and when she had concluded, said in a solemn voice, "Pray, Mrs. Todgers, if I may inquire, what does that young gentleman contribute towards the support of these premises?" ? Why, sir, for what he pays about 18 shillings a week. ? Said Mrs. Todgers. 18 shillings a week. ? Repeated Mr. Pecksniff. Taking one week with another, as near that as possible, said Mrs. Todgers. Mr. Pecksniff rose from his chair, folded his arms, looked at her, and shook his head. "And do you mean to say, ma'am, is it possible, Mrs. Todgers, that for such a miserable consideration as 18 shillings a week, a female of your understanding can so far demean herself as to wear a double face, even for an instant? ? I am forced to keep things on the square if I can, sir," faltered Mrs. Todgers. "I must preserve peace among them, and keep my connection together, if possible, Mr. Pecksniff. The profit is very small." The profit. Cried that gentleman, laying great stress upon the word. "The profit, Mrs. Todgers. You amaze me." He was so severe that Mrs. Todgers shed tears. "The profit." Repeated Mr. Pecksniff. "The profit of dissimulation. To worship the golden calf of Baal, for 18 shillings a week. Don't in your own goodness be too hard upon me, Mr. Pecksniff," cried Mrs. Todgers, taking out her handkerchief. "Oh, calf, calf!" cried Mr. Pecksniff mournfully. "Oh, Baal, Baal! Oh, my friend, Mrs. Todgers! To barter away that precious jewel, self-esteem, and cringe to any mortal creature for 18 shillings a week." He was so subdued and overcome by the reflection that he immediately took down his hat from its peg in the passage and went out for a walk to compose his feelings. Anybody passing him in the street might have known him for a good man at first sight, for his whole figure teemed with a consciousness of the moral homily he had read to Mrs. Todgers. 18 shillings a week. Just, most just, thy censure, upright Pecksniff. Had it been for the sake of a ribbon, star, or garter, sleeves of lawn, a great man's smile, a seat in Parliament, a tap upon the shoulder from a courtly sword, a place, a party, or a thriving lie, or £18,000, or even 1800, but to worship the golden calf for 18 shillings a week, oh, pitiful, pitiful. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.